Get it on.
Many, many years ago, in 1972, when I had the conversion experience, there was something that I forgot about this until really last night. No matter how much of risk takers we are, no matter, you know, even if you like the adrenaline rush from taking risks and you get hooked on that and all that, but every single human being shields themselves from something. And it's all, you know, it depends on our own uniqueness about what things we shield ourselves from. Many people that are, you know, do mountain climbings and the severe sports and all that other kind of stuff, they shield themselves from vulnerability. Others shield themselves from fear of being harmed or embarrassed, or the thousand shields. And it's this thing we talked about at the end of yesterday where John asked about what that meant. It's not just conflict avoidance. It's exposure of our high places avoidance. And the thing that I can remember distinctly, and that's the reason that I prayed that prayer, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot, because I knew that my tendency, just as all men's tendency was, is to try to avoid that. That's the reason we ended up doing the high place stuff, is so that there is no more ever again an attempt to shield ourselves from either exposure or risk or whatever it is. It's because we have to know at the core of our being that God engineered all circumstances, and that the purpose of that is the same as it's always been from the time from the beginning, and it is to protect the seed, not just to protect the seed, but to ensure that the seed is tested. So it sounds like protection, but it really isn't. You know, that's why in the Old Testament, there's time after time after time when that seed was threatened, they killed every man, woman, and child in a particular city or area. Because from God's standpoint, the protection and the testing, and this is what's hard to understand, because it's both, he's protecting the seed, but he's testing the seed at the same time. And so, but we can't be the ones that either engineer the test or shield ourselves from anything. We must simply be abandoned to whatever comes, whatever the issue is that confronts us. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And so it's critical that we recognize this tendency in ourselves and repent from it. Because otherwise, we stay back protected. And this is why the idea in James of confessing our fault one to another that you might be healed, that's the intimacy that has to take place, because you have to feel, in order for there to be really confession, except when you're in a confessional booth, when you're talking to a wall, there has to be trust. So how does this happen? You have to have the trust that somebody isn't going to use it against you. Now, that's a big deal. That's extremely rare. Even in marriage, you end up, it's the rare marriage that's totally vulnerable to each other, because this innate thing that you believe that you will, how can I say it? you believe in a marriage that your partner will use whatever you're confessing against you, or that it'll make you look small in their eyes, or whatever it is. And so this is why this whole idea of a new thing being formed, and why the renewal of our mind is so critical. Am I communicating? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's like I'll give you 95% vulnerability, but the 5% I'll protect.
It's funny you would say that.
I don't feel safe around you.
Make fun of me.
What? What did you say? What did you say?
Thanks for taking one for the team.
No, what did you say before that?
Because I won't tell you some things that they're using against
me. I talk to people that I feel safe with, that I trust, and that's what happens.
No, I understand that, and that's the somehow by His grace and by His Holy Spirit. That feeling of again, because that's protection. There's a certain protecting it. Somehow that openness has to end up being to everything. Because,
expanding.
Yeah, that's what it. It's constantly expanded to more and more until it's, then you're opened up before the world, the devil, and the flesh. Doesn't matter. This is real important, and I'm not speaking about it really well. So if you don't understand it, or if you have something to say, please do, because this is the opposite of our nature. Because we're always afraid to use our Polynesian princesses in whatever those words are. Will I get in trouble? Well, I mean, you can't get in trouble. The only thing you can do is be free. You're doing it again, Gary.
We've talked about this before, and I'm thinking of the criminal who confesses everything except one little thing, one spark of himself, so that he's not totally
vulnerable.
Yeah, it's like falling off a cliff, you'll hang on to a weed.
Let's go to Hebrews 13 a minute. And this is absolutely, horrifying for some people to even consider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you got trust issues. Whatever the issue may be.
Right.
I'll be so happy when I can see again.
Do you want me to read for you?
I don't know where it is. Huh?
13, right?
Yeah, but I don't know where to. No, wait a minute.
We can read the other
verse. Yeah, I like that verse. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Forget.
How about 6?
Yeah, in verse 5. Let your conversation, again, Conversation isn't talk. It means it's your manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I don't want to go through that part. Okay, then let's go down to Wherefore, in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, this idea that he bore his reproach outside the camp, and so must we. Now, you got to understand Jerusalem and the temple, and just for a minute, I'll try to summarize it. When the tabernacle in the wilderness was being carried, that was the symbol of the mystery of Christ. The sin offerings, the trespass offerings, and the cleansings were all done outside of the tabernacle. In other words, the whole idea of being forgiveness of sin, of being cleansed from touching a dead body and of leprosy and all that had to take place outside the camp. And so the whole idea here, and Jesus, when he was crucified, was not crucified in the city limits of Jerusalem, but on Golgotha, because Jerusalem was the camp. So so he had to bear his reproach, which was our reproach, outside the camp. Now, so we are fed in Jerusalem, but we bear his reproach outside the camp. Now, that's it's not localized. It's not like we are fed here and then we go out there to get. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. You are fed. When we start out, we're fed by limited things. You know, we are fed by Bible study, or we are fed by sitting down and talking to somebody about something, or there are ways that we are fed, but the meaning of that is we are fed in Jerusalem. But then we must bear his reproach without shielding ourselves outside the camp.
What does reproach mean?
Yeah.
Being made fun of, being getting in trouble, being afraid of getting whatever it is. It's the place you must bear his reproach, where the place that you don't feel safe. This is what expands the tent pegs.
That's a biggie.
But again, our whole way of being is the opposite. We try to go completely, and if you think about it, when you see most people as they get older and older, they create a deal where they're instead of expanding the tent pegs, they're narrowing them because they feel safe in a narrower and narrower and narrower and narrow place.
How about when you get older, you say whatever you want to say and not care about?
Well, that's the exception. There are people like that.
My experience dealing with elderly people.
Yeah, like me.
I just said that. Since you brought it up, yeah.
Hopefully I was the same when I was 35 as I am now.
Oh, lovely.
But this is critical. I mean, it's easy to be open and vulnerable and, you know, with somebody you trust.
Yeah.
But that's not bearing his reproach outside the camp, because if you're in the place where you feel comfortable and trusted, then then that you're being fed. That's where you're fed, in Jerusalem. But when you go outside the camp, when you go outside of the boundaries of that safety, you know, that's, you know, over the years, it's happened all the time. A lot of people, they'd come and talk to me and about their deepest deals, because I, first of all, I knew I wasn't going to talk about it. But, you know, or they would have offended the entire body, the entire community, but they come and cry and ask for forgiveness in my office. I mean, we've had that innumerable times. So the whole point of it is it's expanding the pegs of our tent to the point where your feeling of safety is everywhere, at the edges of time and space itself, not in the little place that you feel comfortable. And so, because if you continue to do that, that little place where you feel comfortable will get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So, and again, this is why we are fed in Jerusalem, but we bear his reproach outside the camp. Why do we bear his reproach? Because that's the purpose of time and space, for the seed in you to be tested, to see if there's anything that can draw you off the mercy seat. But if you, by your nature, continually protect yourself, then the purposes, then you are savoring the things which be of man and not of God. You understand? Now, so the whole purpose of all this is that you come to a place where you never protect yourself about anything. And that's called freedom. And that's the inheritance that's available to you right now. But your mind says no. What you're doing, Gary?
You're just all over. This is. I'm thinking of this in terms of like even the abdomen. You know, the abdomen is inside the camp, and we're fed his body and his blood, but you don't come into that place bringing all your things that are need to be tested. That's what's been done outside that arena. Part of the way I'm hearing the spiritual concept of this.
Also, too, you don't, I mean, in the same regard as not bringing it into the camp, you don't leave it on the side and put your name on it and go, this is my bag of shit. You know, nobody touch it, I'll come back and get it after I take it after.
No, that's why, again, what I want us, with the place that God wants us, is where every place is this place of trust.
That's a lot of conflict, bro.
Tell me about it.
You will it and do it.
That's a lot of conflict.
So the point of all of this is, I'd like each of us to be able to ask God to forgive us or to open the gates so that we have no place where we're protected. And our only protection is under the wings of the cherubim. Go to Psalm 90 something or other.
Something
90.
Psalm 90 something.
Ronnie, shut up.
What happened?
He's making fun of me because I can't remember. Ha ha! Ha ha! Psalm 91.
Okay. I'm there, babe.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him only will I trust. Now, you got to understand what this means. It means that there is no other place of protection You don't allow your mind to put you into any other place of protection except under the wings of the cherub, under the wings of the Almighty. That's under the shadow of the wings. Because that is your always permanent place. But if you engineer and you let your mind define where your place of protection is, then you have, from God's standpoint, you've committed sin. Because you're not trusting Him in all of the entire arena. You're protecting yourself in these other ways and places and means, and you're not, in terms of how we what we've been talking about a lot lately, is that you're not just believing that everything is to be shared, everything is to come out. You're measuring your response. But by doing such and doing so, you by measuring your response, what you've done is taking yourself off the mercy seat. And so God has to, by His Holy Spirit, cause all kinds of crap to happen so that you get back on the mercy seat. Am I communicating a little bit?
Yeah, and this is the mercy seat.
Right.
And in that place, you know, people can say or do whatever they want to do. That's not where your life is. And so you're not affected by it. It's
not. What I want you, the whole purpose of this, so the reason we're talking about this, is that in order for you to continue with Him in His temptation, you have to stop protecting yourself. A little bit. Until you see and know that all of time and space, all of eternity, let's go to Psalm 139.
139?
Yep. Are you there? Are you there, Ronnie? Uh-huh. Okay. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path, or surrounded my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. For the darkness and light are both alike to thee. Now this is what he's saying again in a different way. David found out through all his activities and through all his screw-ups that wherever he went, there the Lord was. So he had no protection. He could never again needed to protect himself. Never again. He could just be. Because for us, since remember the New Jerusalem came down and met us, so the mercy seat, we ascend up to the mercy seat. The mercy seat came down, and it's everywhere that you are, because He is in you. You can go nowhere else than the mercy seat except in your mind. And we must be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of our mind so that we can see the same thing as He sees. A little bit. This is why this whole thing about having a dialogue instead of a monologue is so critical. Because what you have to say, even if it's stupid, is just as important as anything I have to say, even if it's stupid. But we've been conditioned to be spectators. That's our whole culture conditions us to be spectators. You've heard me say before, in ancient Israel there were no sports, there was no drama, because anything that required you to be a spectator was considered evil. Except the only thing you were a spectator at is looking at the offerings and seeing them, and there was nothing for you to do because the priest took care of everything. Can you sense that this might be important to you?
No, it's important to the body, because without those things that nobody wants to say, we're just kind of talking about the...
We're philosophizing.
Philosophizing.
You know how I love that.
Your favorite. But as far as we're concerned, it doesn't matter whether you like it or don't like it. And whether you respond poorly, which you often do. Yeah. I hope it hurt your feelings. Yeah. But if we don't get past that, we're not doing it.
You're still carnal.
Yeah, we're just here.
John?
God will cause all kinds of, to quote you, crap, to get you back on the mercy seat.
He'll cause you to fail so badly that you only have to choice. Your only choice is to come back up in the mercy seat. That's what the Holy Spirit. If you're not in the mercy seat, what you're fundamentally doing. Remember, the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because they go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is already judged. So, If you're not apprehended by that, and that, then being off the mercy seat makes the Holy Spirit your enemy. What?
So, when your life is spinning, way being blessed.
Amen.
What was that word?
When your life is out of control and you're screwed up and everything, that's the real blessing, because he's bringing you to the point of repentance.
Yeah, I don't like that lesson plan. I'm not a fan.
She doesn't like that lesson plan.
I'm also not a fan of the amount of time you spend on the clock waiting. Not a big fan.
Do you think God cares?
Too bad for me, He doesn't give a shit about that.
But He will move heaven and earth and space and time to cause you to be at rest.
Well, one of the most poignant things you said was 2 or 3 months ago, that only true revelation, or this is how I thought it, only true revelation comes through suffering.
I didn't...
Only true revelation comes through suffering.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I found that poignant. I found it painful.
I don't know if I like it.
And I guess my hopeful side would like to think that some revelation could come through joy as well.
No, joy can only confirm it.
Joy is a fruit.
Oh, the fruit of the suffering?
No, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of the revelation. Joy confirms what you've seen in suffering.
Yeah,
I had one of those ooey ooh moments yesterday where I thought my heart was going to break, and I just bawled like a baby. Because, you know, I'm kind of, you may not see this, but I'm kind of a hard ass. What?
Do you want to rewind and start again?
No, but what I saw in a, I won't go into all why, how it happened, but.
That you need to be a little bit more gentler?
No. I saw how much I loved each and every one of you, and how, you know, there were, I can't tell you how many million times I almost, you know, I just wanted to quit because either nothing was going right or everything in me was hurting so bad I couldn't even take a breath. And I didn't quit, but it wasn't because of my own great faithfulness. It was because of you. And I don't know how to even explain that. But it, whatever had happened, when I saw it, I just started bawling. The idea that I was that connected with each and every one of you blew my mind. So anyway, these things happen. They're the honey of the blintzes.
Why gotta go there so early in the morning?
The night and the day are both alike unto thee. All right, anybody have any other response?
I'm just laughing because everything we've talked about is all the same exact thing. We've talked about it in different ways, but we've only talked about one thing.
From the very beginning.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's that mercy seat place. Everything that attends to it. You know, it's all about what God wants. It's
not... And everything attends to it.
Yeah.
So God is all and in all. Yeah. All righty. Take it, big guy.